Hello everyone, this is Martin Zender again, yet again, and I hope you can all come to Indianapolis. It's less than a month away now, about a little over 3 weeks. You still have time to get to Indianapolis. You still have time to make plans, and I think you should. Because listen, Andy May texted me a couple days ago. I was in Canton, Ohio, visiting my son Paul, who had a birthday, and my sister and some believers up in Cleveland. And Andy May texted me and said, Martin, I got a guy coming who says he's going to bring 20 people. So Andy's taking an accounting of these things, and he thinks there's going to be 60 people at the conference, and I agree. I agree. This is going to be a big event, and I don't want you to miss it, and you don't want to miss it. And so it's not too late. I don't care where you're hearing my voice from, even if it's abroad. If you're in Europe, take a plane to Indianapolis. This is going to be a great event. Just getting together with the body of Christ. I mean, never mind me and Waylon and Alan Hess. Never mind that we're going to bring you messages from the Word of God that are going to encourage you, bolster you in your faith. What's really going to bolster you is seeing so many people in one place who believe like you do. And it can happen for you. You have to get on a plane, or some of you only have to drive. Just get in your car. I say only. That's a hard thing to drive. Believe me, it's easier to fly. I know it's an expense, and if you can't make the expense, I understand. It's tough. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not going to be mad or disappointed at anybody who doesn't make it to this conference, unless you're a believer and you're a couple hours away. Then I might be a little disappointed in you, but I'll still be nice to you. Nothing you will do will ever make me leave you or forsake you. So I'm going to have my sister resend the email announcing the Indianapolis conference on September 23rd. But there's a get together at Andy May's house on Friday the 22nd. I'm going to have Kelly resend that email to you. And I remind you that at martinzender.com, there's a picture of downtown Indianapolis. Click on that picture. It will magically open up to instructions, directions, times, and seasons. Now, where was I during the great solar eclipse of 2017? I was in Canton, Ohio. I was in a hotel room. And I never watch television, as you probably know. I generally hate television. I especially hate the commercials on television. But I turned on the television. It was September 21st. No, actually, it wasn't September 21st. It was August 21st. But throughout this video, apparently, you're going to see that I'm fixated on September, and I just cannot get August into my head. So when you hear September 21st, it's August 21st. This was pointed out to me by my intrepid and very detail-oriented editor, Selena, in Massachusetts. And she said, Martin, you keep saying September 21st. I said, I was not aware. Thank you. So I'm making that audio correction here. It was August 21st. September's on the brain. So I'm sure you'll be able to transpose those dates in your nimble minds. I was vaguely in my mind that it was the day of the eclipse. Vaguely in my mind. I did not know that the news was going to be covering the eclipse. I turned on ABC. Always bad crap, ABC. And there was wall-to-wall coverage of the solar eclipse. And I was in Canton right by the time that the eclipse in its totality, the path of totality, was hitting the West Coast, somewhere in Oregon. And of course, they're making a big deal of it. And there are people gathered from miles around. And listen, I don't blame people, but I'll give you my observation. I don't have insight in this. Yes, I do. I do have insight, but mainly an observation. So it is weird how these places in the path of totality went black. I mean, like midnight. It was freaky, I got to admit. And what disturbed me... Now, before I say this, I have to tell you, I have to cover my bases. I'm not a mean person. I'm an understanding guy. People take their families. I remember there was a lunar eclipse when the Earth casts a shadow on the moon. And when my kids were little, we all got outside and I made them popcorn, and it was night, you know, and we're all sitting in our chairs. I made a bit of an event of it, and we looked up in awe at the shadow that the Earth was casting from the sun being behind it, called a lunar eclipse. And it wasn't a celebration. It was an event. It was a happening. But what I saw on ABC News were these people with party hats celebrating, woo! And you know how it is with the news. It is the same like a game show. You have to get everybody excited. And the commentator would be holding her or his microphone and say, is everybody excited about the eclipse? Yay, people would cheer. This is what bothered me. And I sat there looking at the television set, weeping, literally weeping. Not crying, weeping. My face rent in tears because people were celebrating darkness. And they were celebrating what I truly believe to be a broadside by God, a shot across the bow of this nation, warning it. I'm starting to sound like a Christian here. Warning. It was a warning that terrible things are coming, that the earth is going to be shaken like it's never been shaken. It's a warning concerning the tribulation. The time of the greatest trauma this earth has never known, worse even than the flood of Noah. Worse than the disruption of the world, because when the disruption of the world happened, there were no people on the planet. Now there are people, and there are children, and there are teenagers, there are people going to school, there are people going to their jobs every day, and they're gathering, and they're celebrating the fact that darkness is coming as a warning of God of the most dark time that will ever visit the earth. And it reminded me of an account I read concerning the Titanic. Again, here's the analogy with the Titanic. Always right there for me. When the Titanic struck the iceberg, it was still 2 hours away, maybe 3 hours away from sinking, but it struck the iceberg and large chunks of ice came on the deck of the ship, and kids were seen to be playing ice hockey with the ice chunks. You are going to die, okay? You're gonna die, and you don't realize the seriousness of what that ice meant, and yet you're playing with it. Wee, look at this, isn't this fun? And so here's the darkness coming over our land, and it's a fair warning of God, and people are celebrating it. They're dancing. Woo, look at that. Here comes this huge warning. You're playing with the chunks of ice from the iceberg on the Titanic. You are all going to die. And this is what I thought. All you people celebrating this, you don't realize what it means. You, most of you, are going to die. I told you a third of humanity is going to be killed during the tribulation because the four spirits now bound at the river Euphrates will be released, and they will in turn release 200 million supernatural cavalry that will go out and kill, wholesale kill. These plagues of the last days of Millennium 6 are going to destroy the religion and politics of this planet. And as I've said over and over again, the book of Revelation is about religion and politics. It's about God's religion, the right religion, the true establishment of a priesthood on the earth with Christ as the chief priest, and politics. Christ is going to displace the earth's religion and politics with his. Therefore, churches will be destroyed. Church people will die. The pastors especially will die. They will be killed. And this was a warning 33 days before the September 23rd constellation and planetary alignment, which is in itself 3.5 years before the tribulation. There's ample warning here. And while this is happening, I'm going to be putting out books, and I'm going to be distributing books free. I'm just going to be wholesale, and people are helping me. If anybody else wants to help me financially do this, then have at it. Go for it. Because look, I'm going to saturate the globe with information. I'm going to start another series after this one. I'm going to do what I can to get the gospel of Paul out during the final closing of this window of the evangel of the grace of God. I have told you over and over again that this evangel of the grace of God is a window. The time of the nations is a window of quote-unquote opportunity. But it's giving God, really, what it does is, this is not an opportunity for you to show God how great and how smart and how intelligent you can be by choosing him. This proclamation that I will be doing, that I am doing, that I have been doing, and that I will be doing, is gives God an opportunity to show what he can do through the foolishness of the heralding. And I will herald this word in ways foolish, in ways amateurish, in ways, I try to be professional, I try to have good quality sound, good quality audio here, good quality video. I try in my books to have to write good quality sentences. I edit with quality in mind to make it easy to understand. We send our books to quality publishers so that it looks nice, the spacing is nice, the cover is nice. I do everything I can to make this truth go down better for people. I don't want to make it hard. I don't want to put an ugly cover on a book. Why do that on purpose? I know it seems like some people do that on purpose. Just slap a cover on here. No, I give it thought. Anyway, all that to say that in spite of all that, my presentation at times will be foolish. It will be amateurish. It will be rambling, whatever. I'm trying like hell to get this out, and you're with me. We're fellow laborers. Those of you who send money to help me, I always say this, don't I? I always say thank you for being a fellow laborer with me in the evangelical, because we're in it together. I may be on the front lines, you're behind the lines, but you're supplying the soldier on the front lines. So I am literally weeping while these people are celebrating. They have no idea what's coming. It's like in the days of Noah. Oh, and then, this is what finally made me turn off the TV. I couldn't take it anymore. I did try to turn it off, and I did before this, and I turned it off for maybe 10 minutes, and then I couldn't handle it anymore. I had to see, well, what's the next city where the path of totality is coming? By the way, that eclipse was moving at 1,800 miles an hour, three times the speed of an airliner as it went across the country. It's like a torch. It's like a burning, taking a blowtorch, is burning a line across the country. Shh, a warning of God, sending darkness. It's really harkens back to the eclipse, the darkness that covered the land when Christ was crucified. These people would have crucified Christ. They're all a bunch of Christians. They all just believe in all happy America and happy Jesus, and aren't we, isn't it wonderful? And they ignore completely the words of Christ that he comes not to bring peace, but to bring a sword. And the truth of God today separates people. And there's not to be an alliance between truth and falsehood. Ah, they don't care as long as they have a happy little group that gets together at church on Sunday. Here comes the darkness. Yay! Here's your little glasses. You can look at the warning sign from God of impending death and destruction. You're all gonna die. You're all gonna die. So then, ABC News, always bad crap, takes me to a wedding. And there is a numbnuts couple. I mean, I wish them happiness. I really do. But I'm sorry for what I'm about to say. I really am. There's a numbnuts couple getting married during the eclipse. That's their thing. They want to be married during the eclipse. I don't know why. Oh, before I tell you about that, one of the commentators that they had on ABC, this is not a celebration of something. It's a celebration of science. Yes, he called the eclipse a celebration of science. Maybe it was that Bill Nye, the science numbnuts, that said that. A celebration of science. Celebration? Warning of God is a celebration? I have a problem with that right away, but a celebration of science? Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to know, I guess, that once in a while the moon comes in between us and the sun, and it is interesting to know that the reason it fits perfectly on the sun is even though the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, it's literally 400 times farther away from us than the moon. So it superimposes it perfectly so that all you see is the corona, the effulgence of the sun. You see a few flares jutting out here and there, which is impressive. The corona of the sun, hotter than the sun itself. So anyway, here's this numbnuts couple getting married. And what did I think of? You know what I thought of instantly. The days of Noah. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. And one of the chief characteristics of the days of Noah was they will be marrying and given in marriage. You see, I'm done with that business by because God forced me to be done with it. I'm not completely happy about it. But anyway, there's these numbnuts getting married during the eclipse. And at that point, they're having this meaningful ceremony, and the ABC commentator is there at the wedding. Oh, it was so moving. And I can't tell you anymore. It's just because I turned it off. I just saw that part, and my face is rent with tears. I'm not trying to be melodramatic here. It was that profoundly affecting me. So I turned off the TV and I went outside. I gotta go for a walk. I gotta get in the real world. It never even occurred to me. I was in downtown Canton, Ohio. Never even occurred on September 21st. It never even occurred to me that I was gonna go out into the eclipse. I knew that some of the, you know, even though Ohio was not in the path of totality, I knew that there was a large radius, a large swath that would see a partial eclipse. So I'm walking up Market Avenue and I look up at the sun with my naked eye, of course. That's what I do. I'm Martin Zender. I look up to the sun with my naked eye and I see it going and I think, that's the sun that everybody's getting all excited about today. So I look up and I see the moon covering it. I see that the sun is halfway covered by the moon. And I said, oh my gosh, it's the eclipse. It's the Great American Eclipse of 2017. I'm actually looking at it. And it was somewhat safe. See, I'm not blind. I'm looking at you, looking at the camera, because the sun was just going behind a thick blanket of cloud. And you know how it's still a little bit transparent. And I could see it. I could see the eclipse. It's eclipsing. It's eclipsing. It's eclipsing. It's the Great American Eclipse. I knew what it portended. And so I wasn't like, oh. No, my friends. No, I was very somber and sober. And I thought if I saw it once, I want to see this again. I mean, it's significant. It's a hell of a significant sign from God. So I wanted to see it again. So I kind of squinted, looked up, wait, and I saw the sun was coming out, so I can't look at it then. Then I noticed, in about 30 seconds, it's going to be behind another cloud bank. I'm going to catch it as it goes in, and that's what I did. I caught it as it went in. I caught it as it went in, and I saw the eclipse again. And it got weird out. It got darkish-ish. It got duskish. I was bathed in the eclipse, bathed in the harbinger of great judgment. Then I went back to my hotel room and I steeled myself to turn on the television again, which I did. And more people celebrating. And the next day, I'm assuming this, I think I'm pretty safe to say this. I'm going to go back to Revelation 12 tomorrow. I'm going to talk about the dragon again tomorrow because I think I was right on Friday that the dragon has no celestial representation, but the dragon itself is a representation of Satan and of the beast. That's the thing. The dragon itself is a representation. It's a sign shown to John. We don't have the celestial suggestion, really statement, until the tail drags a third of the stars. So going to be going back to Revelation chapter 12. But I went back to the television and I saw the more celebrations taking place. And on September 22nd, business as usual, people forgetting all about it. Oh, that was a nice little science thing. We got to hear from Bill Nye the Numbnuts and others. Another commentator said, the guy that said that this was a celebration of science, he talked about the universe. He talked about it in terms of fantasy, in terms of the Big Bang, in terms of the how the universe came into existence by total freak accident. And it was ridiculous. I turned it off again. And I'm still pondering it. See, and I'm talking about it days later. So it hasn't left me, because it's leading to the great sign of September 23rd, when we will be, including you, in Indianapolis, Indiana. So what for most was a celestial novelty, a sideshow, celestial sideshow, is for us a very real sign from God. We don't need it. I didn't need it. Don't think for a second that I'm like, I've got to repent. No, I realize that I'm justified by faith. Don't need it. This is for unbelievers. Should have said that right off the bat. I'll leave you with this. The solar eclipse was for unbelievers. It's for the world. Oh, and I just got a text from a friend in Connecticut who said that the eclipse affected a friend of hers. Maybe I'll just read it to you here. I just got this morning, in fact. She talked to one of her friends here for a half hour about the truth. She said, hey, my friend and I spent one and a half hours speaking truth to a good friend. She's calling me her friend. Okay, hey, my friend. I just didn't see the commas because there aren't any. Okay. I just spent 1.5 hours speaking truth to a good friend. She will be reading First Idiot in Heaven soon. That is great news. Get that book out. Write Charles Rutsch. Remember, charlesrutsch@gmail.com. RUTSCH. Get more books. He has cartons of the First Idiot that he's selling, each book for $1. So a carton might cost you $30. charlesrutsch@gmail.com. I'm pretty sure that's right. So she gives the name of her friend, and then this morning she gives me more information. She goes, this friend and I, we all did home church together. This was back in the day. Another friend and her told this person years ago about the truth, but it was not the right time. And they had lost touch with this person for several years. This person finally started asking questions this past spring. After several years of losing touch, after several years before trying to reach this person with the truth, but it wasn't time, the eclipse this week spoke to her. It spoke. Well, that's what Paul said the heavens do. The heavens, with inarticulate groanings, testify of the glory and the wisdom and the power and the might and the organization and the big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable ruts of God, the counting of days. So it spoke to her. Yes, I know. I know exactly what you mean. It's an inaudible language. Her daughter and husband saw the total eclipse in Nashville. Their report was everyone was hushed. Well, thank God. I guess it's only when those ABC numbnuts, always bad crap, bring the cameras in, the people feel they have to be jazzed and applaud and cheer like a bunch of clowns for the television audience, maybe. So this is great to hear. None of this on television. I guess silent awe makes for poor television. Everyone was hushed. No one spoke. It dropped 20 degrees. Some people were crying. Now we're talking. Yes, some people were crying. Good. She texted me the next day. That is great news. That's a high note. The next day after the eclipse. See, after the eclipse, some people are getting real. And this is the design of it. This is what God wants to happen. God wants this to happen during a solar eclipse. He wants people to take note of the heaven, to not take the sun for granted. Because people take the sun for granted. And God's saying, I can make it go away. And we know he's going to. There's going to be a plague of darkness in the unveiling during the tribulation. And a plague where the sun becomes 10 times hotter than it usually does and burns the heck out of people. At that time, you had better be wearing a high SPF rating sunblock. Although I still recommend coconut oil.